By now, J.K. Rowling's own story is legendary. A single mother on the dole in Scotland, she used to cart her infant daughter off to a coffee shop, where she wrote while her baby napped. Eventually, she produced a fantasy book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It became a huge bestseller. The rest of the Harry Potter books proved just as popular, and the new Potter movie will certainly turn into box office gold. Now, if you haven't read the books, a few words about Harry. He's a pretty ordinary kid who grew up in the Muggle, or non-magical, world. Then he finds out he's a wizard with extraordinary powers, and to top it off, he has a special knack for soaring around on a broom in the game Quidditch. The Harry Potter books have turned a lot of kids into bookworms, as producer Veronica Rickert discovered when she talked with some fourth and fifth graders in Madison, Wisconsin.
Would you rather watch TV or read Harry Potter?
Read Harry Potter!
Clearly, the Harry Potter books have opened up a fabulous world of magic and mystery.
I like to go in the secret passageways because they'll lead you into unknown places.
It would be cool to have Harry Potter as a friend. He's really adventurous, and he has magical powers. He's famous. It would be fun to have him as a friend because, frankly, A, whenever I wanted, I could ask him to please make a snowstorm, then there wouldn't be any school for a week. And B, and even when there would be, there would be something really fun going on, so I'd never have to take a spelling test again.
I like Quidditch because it's a fast game, just like soccer, except with four balls and you're up in the air on a broomstick.
If I was on a broom, I would feel like a witch.
I like these books because they're different. They're about a person who's gone through life being pretty miserable living where he lives, and then one day he just finds out that he's a wizard, and after that, he just leads a fairly happy life.
I think I'm going to read them at least like 7 times because they're so good.
Children from Shorewood Elementary School in Madison, Wisconsin. You know, it is not just kids who like the Harry Potter books. I've read all three of them and thoroughly enjoyed them. But I still wondered, what is it that makes these books so special? So I called up a few writers and asked what they thought.
I'm Lee Siegel, a staff writer for the New Republic magazine. And I think that the Harry Potter books appeal to a wide range of people because they address issues and emotions and thoughts that are very close to people and do not get an outlet in what passes for fiction nowadays or even our public discourse.
Do you think they're not, then, about fantasy, about escaping reality?
Well, I think there are two forms of escapism. I think there's an escape away from reality, an Indiana Jones movie, for example, which is a lot of fun, of course. But I think there's a kind of escape that goes deep into the heart of reality. And it's liberating because it gets behind appearances and it makes sense of life for us.
In the Harry Potter books, there is a split between, I guess you'd say, real life and Harry's reality, isn't there? I mean, his wizardry is part of it, but then there is the Muggle world where the rest of us live.
Right. Well, I think that she's honest about that. She doesn't pretend, as, say, magical realists do, like Garcia Marquez or Günter Grass, that reality is continuous with fantasy. She acknowledges that there's a big difference between the mundane world that we dwell in and the world of the imagination, and she invites the reader to exercise his or her imagination and take the leap from one to the other.
What about the reality world that she's created? Is that our reality, do you think?
Well, I think it's partly our reality. The sort of Philistine uncle, Harry's uncle, he manufactures drills for a living. And Harry himself, once he's in the wizard world, he undergoes the hero's traditional journey from the surface of life to the depths of life and where he's endangered and has to fight for his life, and then back up again to a more harmonious surface. And so that contrast between someone who manufactures drills for a living and is very unkind, even cruel to Harry, and to Harry's journey, that's a lot like life, you know? You know, we're surrounded by dull moments and by a surface reality that does not acknowledge our deeper hungers. And in our moments of true feeling and true apprehension, we go beyond that. We know that there's more there. That's why these books are so beautiful. We human beings know and feel the truth of life, but so much of what passes for popular culture and serious culture does not address that. And somehow Rowling in these innocent-seeming books does.
I'm Henry Jenkins. I'm the director of the Comparative Media Studies program here at MIT. The other week, as I was on the road traveling, I wandered into a gay bookshop in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and saw a huge stack of copies of the Harry Potter books. And this caught my eye, obviously, because this is a children's book. It's not a book aimed explicitly at the gay community. Yet it was clear from that display and others that I've stumbled into since that it's a book that has really caught the attention of gay, lesbian, bisexuals across the country.
What do you think it is about Harry Potter that would appeal to the gay community?
Well, I think you start with the fact that the very first chapter is about the shame that the Dursley family feels about their relatives and the horror they face when Harry is introduced into their home. The sense they worry about the perception of their neighbors, they're afraid about a scandal that might erupt, that Harry is forced to live in a cupboard underneath the stairs, not quite a closet, but very close to one.
Sort of the classic outsider, isn't he?
He is something of, he is since faced by a family who fundamentally doesn't understand what makes him tick, what his desires are, what his goals in life are, what his lifestyle and values are. And that's a phenomenon that a high number of gay and lesbian teens in America face in their own families. They're often misunderstood. They're obviously most often raised by heterosexuals. There is still a scandal associated with it.
Now, I can see how you're making these relationships, but I'm curious whether you think that they're being made widely. I mean, Harry is the classic outsider, but not necessarily a gay outsider.
No, I don't mean to imply that he is gay at all, and let's be clear. In a sense, what I'm suggesting is the character is one that is designed to resonate with students who are outsiders in one way or another. Mm-hmm. That is, he's a kind of nerdy character. The nerd in our culture is a character who doesn't quite fit within the social community that he finds himself. The nerd is often, if it's a male nerd, is often treated as a little effeminate. A mama's boy, a bookworm, can easily be labeled as queer or gay in the school. Whether or not his sexuality is that way, he's often exposed to a kind of gay-bashing culture in the state of schools in America. A female nerd is often characterized as a little too masculine, a little too butch. And I would suggest that those kinds of kids are kids that would gravitate toward a story such as Harry Potter, which really tells the story of an individual who's been singled out, who has been undervalued, and who rises to the occasion, who demonstrates competencies and abilities that no one quite realized.
My name is Allison Lurie. I'm a professor at Cornell University. I sometimes teach children's literature, and I'm also a novelist. I think that the Harry Potter books are so popular because, first of all, they're brilliantly inventive, and second, because they're in the tradition of English children's literature, they're child-centered, and they're full of magic and surprise, and they empower children over adults.
What is it, do you think, that lends British children's literature especially such an air of imagination? What is it about the British people that is it that they're childish?
No, I think it's that in Britain, childhood is more of a separate world. British children are not so family-centered as American children or children in some other countries. They tend to spend a lot of time with their peers. They go off to school much earlier. And, of course, they're living in a world which has a tradition of the romantic child, a tradition that childhood is a wonderful, delightful place to be, and that it's rather sad to grow up.
Why do you think that it is the magic that is so appealing about these stories? I mean, wouldn't it be enough just to go off to school?
No, I don't think so, because then you wouldn't have the sense that you're in a world in which some children have special powers and make friends who also have these powers. And you may have noticed when you read the book that Harry Potter, at the beginning of the first book, he's nothing special. He's not particularly intelligent. I mean, he's not dumb, but he's an average kid. He's average looking. He's sort of skinny and weedy, and he's He's not the kind of kid that would be hired to sell cereal on television, you know. these books appeal to children who feel that they're not perfect. And, of course, most people are not perfect. And when you're a child, you're especially aware of this.
I'm Don Esmond. I'm a columnist with the Buffalo News. And I think it would be nice if Harry Potter had been a girl.
Well, now let's just talk about this for a minute. Do you think that the book would have been really different if J.K. Rowling had made Harry Potter Henrietta Potter?
I think it would have been from the perspective of that girls who are the age and maybe even a little bit older than my daughter, my 7-year-old, would be able to see themselves reflected in a role that I think that they will play in life and that they should play in life. Mm-hmm. A role of a leadership role, an adventuresome role, a role where they're taking charge, where they're the leaders and not always the followers and the secondary person to the boy.
Now, in the Harry Potter books, there is a strong female character, his friend Hermione Granger, who is not willing to take too much guff from Harry. Do you think there are problems with her?
I do in some ways, and especially in the earlier book, I think she's your very conventionally stereotypical female, and she's not as athletic as Harry. She's very bookish and studious. She's always the one who's loaded down with books and constantly studying and absorbed with following the rules. And whereas, you know, it's Harry and some of the other boys who are more inclined to be the risk takers and the rule breakers.
Does it strike you as ironic at all that J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books and has had this huge success, is, well, of course, a woman herself, and at least according to what I've read about her, has a daughter, and yet she wrote about Harry Potter?
Right, and I think that's what first put the idea in my mind. I mean, if anyone was in a position to come out with, write books like this centered around a strong female character, I would have thought it was her. She's obviously a tremendous writer and wildly inventive to have created this universe that she has. And again, she's also a single mother of a daughter. I don't think we're reinventing reality here. You know, when girls are 10, 11, and 12, in many instances, they're bigger and more athletic than boys. There's a girl on the block I live on who's 11 or 12 years old, and she's better than the boys at street hockey and those other games that they play, and she's the leader of the pack. You know, and that's when I looked at her, I said, well, that's Henrietta Potter.
Don Esmond. We also heard from Allison Lurie, Henry Jenkins, and Lee Siegel.